SiriusXM Sports Bet Primetime, October 7th. NFL Betcast Live, Week 5. All right. That much more enjoyable at this point talking about the Bills every week, isn't it, than it was in past seasons. I remember growing up, Joe Cribbs, 2-14, just not a lot of fun. The electric company, Joe Ferguson, I guess electric company was before that, and then moving on to Fred Smirlus and four straight losses in the Super Bowl. But of course the acronym BILLS, boy, I love losing Super Bowls. But we've turned the page and you're almost at the opposite end of the spectrum now, where they're arguably the most fun offensive machine to watch in football. Or do you, John, being a heathen, do you prefer watching the machine that is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? What do you think?
You know what I am, Matt. I love the fact that you went back to Joe Cribbs and Greg Bell and Fred Smirlus and Joe Ferguson. You know, those are the great old days. Jerry Butler. Oh, no. You know how I feel. We are supposed to be cold and calculating on a sports betting pod, but it's tough not to get excited about the Bills. I thought that was a very, very important win the other day, actually. A nice, solid win to make sure that they're okay, everybody. Baltimore's okay, but they're not better than us.
Yeah, a lot of people saw it as the battle for the two best of the two top teams in the AFC, and you can make a good case for that to be a fair assessment. But let's go. We got four games to get through tonight, John, and then you have some other input. But we got, of course, that Bills game favored by 14 against the Steelers, the Squealers, coming into what's the name of the stadium now, John? Orchard Park.
Highmark.
And then how about Dallas and the Rams? Throwback in L.A., favored by 5.5, kind of surprising. Giants and Green Bay, the pack over in London for the first time. And then finally, don't forget, last but not least, Detroit Lions, the Motor City Kitties, up to Foxborough to take on Belichick and the Pats. But before we get going on all of that, we want to remind everyone, as you're listening to this, please go to Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We are the OG. I know there's sports betting material everywhere you look these days, John. Mm-hmm. It's would you say it's a flood of sports betting material for Ontario?
I would say it's a flood, but it's not all that cogent compared to us. We've got lots of interesting things to say.
I think we were, I really honestly believe, sincerely, that we were the first to do what we do. We were the first in the Canadian market to be talking about sports betting from the perspective that we're talking about it in the way that we do and that so many are doing now. And I'm not saying that we set the mold or the template or that we established the model and everyone else is just ripping us off. Mm. But to put it more fairly, everyone is ripping us off. Just kidding. No, but they often imitated, never duplicated. I always say that. But now it's everywhere you look. And you can't turn around without bumping into it. But if you go to our original Twitter, you'll see that we've been there forever. Since prior to betting being legalized in Ontario, John, can you believe that? It goes all the way back. And so now, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Another one of the axioms I repeat too often, but it's true. And so we're having a great time doing this. We're on SiriusXM throughout Canada and the United States now. We have our great partnerships, including with Bet Rivers, that we're excited about. And so we ask for people to support the podcast, and just when they have an opportunity, if they're going to place a bet on one of the games that we're talking about in the show or one of the props that we're talking about in the show or any sort of betting opportunity, it's just easy to do it through Bet Rivers, right, John?
Yes, just click the top right hand corner. It says join now. And you'll see a bunch of things that you can, you fill in your regular information, stuff that everybody knows, your name, your address, etc. If you want to help us out, and that's great if you do or you don't, but there's an affiliate code in there and you put in Prime Time, and that helps us out. That continues to generate content, allows us to generate content, and you can still take advantage of the bonuses that they offer right now. So how exciting is that? You can do it's a double blast.
That's right. And also it's just easy. It's practical when we reference a line. If we're pulling it from Bette Rivers, then, and you like the sound of it, or you like the case that we made on one side of a line, or what have you, then you know where to access those numbers they're referring to, because of course you're going to find different odds depending on where you look, right?
Right. And for sure, that's the most important thing. And we're not going to say play with Bette Rivers just because we're partnering with them. If you see a better odd set of odds on a particular team or player or whatever that is at one of the other sports books, play it. That's what you're supposed to do.
After you've registered with Bette Rivers under affiliate code.
There you go. Nice, Matt. Nice. Prime time. Affiliate code prime time. Yeah, of course. Right. And people get it. People understand this kind of process. So, listen, we are built for this particular thing. Our friend Dave Briggs called us out the other day and said some nice things about how we were one of the few that are out there in this space. And that's nice to have read. That's at playontario.com. And we built this from the start, Matt. And I said, okay, this is a new market. It's just starting. It's literally 6 months old. And we started this in 2021, which is what now, 15 months or something like that. And we're still going. And it's pretty exciting. It's hopefully it goes for more than 15 months. It'll go for 15 years.
Well said. Can I spend 1 second on this? And you can explain it better than I can, but just, we haven't talked about this in a while. It crossed my mind. So how about the fact that when a line is set by a sports book, such as Bette Rivers, give me a few others, John.
Bet365, BetMGM.
DraftKings, FanDuel.
Cool Bet, yeah. Yes.
So
points bet.
When they set the line, so yep. Such as a 14-point spread between the Bills and the Steelers this week, when they set that line, what they're trying to do is get equal number of bets or equal handle, so the amount of money bet, on both sides of the bet. So they want it equal on both sides. So they're not telling you who's going to win. They're saying, we need to move the line to this place, so not the 3-point advantage, not 7, not 10. We need to move it to 14 in order to get an equal amount of money bet on both sides of this wager. They need to balance it. So I was thinking about the $100 example that we gave. So if something's minus 110 to win, for example, the book puts it at 110 because they, for the sake of illustration, they keep the 10. Someone wins, someone loses on either side of the bet. So if the money's equal, the book takes their 10, and then someone loses $100 and someone wins that $100, so to speak. So always remember, all they're trying to do is put a line that generates interest equally on both sides of that line. So if that's the case, you can see the value around, or the merits of, an analytical process where you're trying to say, how does the public come up with, how does it react? How is it thinking? How is it placing its wager? So, Tom Brady's having marital difficulty with Gisele Bündchen. I'm not feeling as confident. So that's not a quality process, but does the public shift in that direction as a result of those kind of narrative things that maybe they shouldn't be as focused on? So how are they, not mistaken, but how are they misled or focused in the wrong areas? And identifying sort of where things should be, if you were being analytical, and there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as a run. That's all, as we all know as adults, that doesn't exist. So all there is mathematical probability, and you identifying the gap between where a line should be or how a game is actually going to play out based on information and knowledge, and how the public is reacting different from that. The difference between the two, that gap or delta as we refer to it, that's where the value lies. And so that's what this is all about, right, John? And this is what we're trying to help people educate. So we're not trying to tell you bet this way or bet that way. We're saying, here's the process that we used to get to our decision on how we're going to bet. You're more experienced, obviously, far more experienced and knowledgeable than I am. But it's more about identifying that gap, right, John? And so here's how I got where this is the process that I used. Here's the information I'm folding in. I'm sharing it with you so you can use that same information. And you can go through a similar process if you like. And then you can feel confident that you've folded in everything that you should have. Your process is solid. You feel good about your decision. Feel like you've gathered together all the information you want to gather. Maybe it's in a really accessible spot, like on SiriusXM Sports Bet Primetime, when we hand deliver it to you right here a couple times a week. And then you feel better about the bet, which makes it more fun. Maybe it increases your likelihood of winning, but win or lose, you feel like you actually thought about it and you're playing a game. You're not just sitting on the sidelines and letting someone else play it for you and throwing a couple bucks down the toilet, right? You're actually playing, which is what we're referring to, isn't it, John? So that's the end of my soliloquy, but we haven't talked about that in a while, have we? It's really the misconceptions of a lazier public, so the squares, as they call them, versus the sharps, closer to someone like you and your process and your information level. It's that lack of sophistication or understanding on the part of the public which moves the lines and creates value opportunities for players like you, John. What do you think of that whole diatribe?
Matt, you should cut and print that one. That's a thing that we've got to promote the show on. That's how good that was. Now, a ton was said there. And I think this, to me, this is one of the key pieces of it all, okay? If you, and your Tom Brady, Giselle Bundchen thing is perfect, okay? That example is perfect, okay? So if you think that is affecting the line, okay? And that's fine. It may actually affect the line. But you can decide whether it's affecting the line or not, or too much, or too little, okay? That's great. You have an opinion. You know what? They put those lines up so they can generate customers, you know. They're trying to acquire customers. They're saying, we think that this narrative is worth X. You think that that narrative is worth Y, okay? So don't just complain about it on some pod or with your friends or something. Go ahead and be a customer. Go ahead and bet then. Who do you think you are to sort of fire back at some sports book or some trader that says, are they crazy? Don't they know that Tom Brady is going to be affected by these divorce proceedings? I'm going to bet the other side. Oh, that's right. You haven't bet. You're too chicken to do that. You know, that's what you always hear bookmakers talk in this manner, that they say, the counter's open. If you've got an opinion, come on up. Right. We're here, right here. And I view it in a physical sports book kind of way. But I think virtually people understand that, yeah, shoot, Brady is affected by this thing. I'm going to bet the other side. All right, I'm going to cash a ticket. And then you realize as you gain some experience and some, you know, your results will be reflective of this. And you'll realize whether you do need to go through this rigorous process that we can offer. And that's at various levels across the spectrum.
It's funny. One of the phrases that stood the test of time, John, when you say, I think X, and so you say, I think X, I think, well, no, I don't think so. I think Y. And then you reply, care to make it interesting?
That's right.
So if you think about sort of the where that comes from, like, so it does make it a little more. If you have an opinion and you feel strongly, even if it's $5, $2, whatever, mm-hmm. It does make it interesting, backing your opinion financially, as you would say, yep. John. But anything further on that, or can we get going on the Steelers and Bills?
We can get going, Matt, but if you really, really are interested in making a few bets, then go to BetRivers and put in Primetime in the affiliate code and get started. And if you really want to come on the show and talk about it, we can arrange that as well.
That's right. Yeah. You can send us an email, or you can text us, or contact us, and we can get you on here. All right, let's get going. Is this a dawn of the Kenny Pickett area? Is this the dawn of the Kenny Pickett era in Pittsburgh? So is he the actual successor to Big Ben? That's the question. Things didn't really work out so well for Mitch Trubisky so far, did they? But who knows how things are going to go? Can you believe they're throwing Kenny Pickett into that Hornets' nets this week and still, instead of waiting for a softer landing spot? He did get into the game last week, of course, but this Sunday he gets his first NFL start. Is it going to be the beginning of a very long tenure in the NFL, or is it going to be like so many guys that sort of start strong and then fade quickly? Tough place to play in Buffalo against this defense, but especially as a 14-point underdog against the Bills, that's the largest point spread deficit underdog position that they've had, the Steelers have had, since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970.
Murphy.
It's an historic was it point spread, John?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought you were going to cite Casablanca there, Matt, the start of a beautiful friendship. Right? that's shocking to me.
It is. It's huge, yeah. So, obviously, the Bills have struggled a little bit the last 2 weeks. You can comment on the game from last week that we touched on in the opening, but it was a fun one to watch and a great finish to it, and we're proud of the guys. With all the injuries, let's face it, the Bills have been crushed by injuries, right? Like, so And it's not getting a lot better this week. Just hearing that Jordan Poyer has been ruled out. He was questionable until about 20 minutes ago on where I saw. So that's disappointing. No update on Trey White. But let's. The question is, with that 14, John, that's a lot to cover, even for the Steelers. Steelers defense, not bad. So still without TJ Watt, Defensive Player of the Year last year, reported still at least a week away from returning. But still, that Steelers, you know, they got Micah Fitzpatrick and the rest of it. They're still seventh in team defensive rankings currently. So not doing great. But and as we talked about, the Bills, for all their weaponry on offense and the MVP to this point in my book, Josh Allen, haven't put up a lot of points in the past 2 weeks, but still lead the NFL in third down conversions. They're first, still first in point differential. They've also scored on their opening drive 8 weeks in a row. Bills offense averages 412 yards per game, which is third in the NFL. So tough for that Steelers defense with no TJ Watt to slow Buffalo down. And the Steelers have been giving up on average 383 yards per game. So, and then if you flip it on the other side of the ball, obviously with Kenny Pickett and the offense out there for the Steelers and the tough Bills defense, you get a huge mismatch. We got a rookie quarterback, his first start. Things are settling down for Najee Harris. He had a decent game for the first time this year, last week. And the Steelers, the Bills are particularly tough against the pass, which again doesn't bode well for Pickett. But if the Steelers can keep the Bills to a reasonable number of points, there's a good chance that we could see some garbage time stuff at the end and maybe a backdoor cover, John. But I'm not feeling strong about that. So the defense, Steelers ranks 26th in pass rush win rate. So they may have difficulty pressuring Josh Allen. They are averaging only 278 yards a game on offense. So see if Pickett is that spark. But it's going to be a tough time on the road, going blow for blow, punch for punch with Josh Allen, you would think. I think I'm sticking with the Bills, even with the crazy spread. Mentioned Jordan Poyer has been ruled out. Dawson Knox is still questionable, last I heard. Maybe you can update. Isaiah McKenzie, the same, although it was looking good. Crowder's out with a broken ankle, I think. Trey White, a little uncertain. He's off the PUP list, but there's some talk that he'll be out for a couple more weeks until after the bye. So huge spread. I think I'm going to say Bills to cover, but you tell me, John, what's the smart thing to do here?
It's the game's a pass for me, Matt, to be blunt about it. But let's work through this, because sometimes these kinds of pass games end up being bets because of just working through it. What would the point spread have been at the beginning of the year? Okay, we're probably still talking like 12, 13 points, no matter what. How much better have the Bills been than the Steelers since the beginning of the year? Are the Steelers not one of the worst teams in the league? We laughed about Matt Ryan and yesterday, but if you watch that game, the Indianapolis-Denver game last night, he had no chance on almost every play. He's not throwing the ball that well. But the offensive line was horrible, Matt. Okay, this is what we're seeing with the Pirates. Look at me, the Steelers. Right, this is what we're seeing. They're converging. They were converging on Mitch Trubisky. The only thing I think that Pickett has over Trubisky is a little more dynamic. Even though Trubisky can get out of the pocket, maybe they're going to let Pickett run around and do stuff. Maybe the offensive coordinator didn't want Trubisky to run around because he has mobility. So I don't quite understand. It's time for the Kenny Pickett era. I'm saying that because it just seems like an evolution that happens. But I don't know how he's going to improve that much in the quarterback play over Trubisky.
No.
I know that's unpopular opinion. I get it. But that offensive line is horrible. Najee Harris, Matt, you brought up, he played all right last week, and he actually knocked through a few holes. But it's not like he's been a dynamic player. He's like comparatively to other top running backs. So no, and the equalizer, you're right. The Bills injuries. Like I don't think Dawson Knox is going to play either. Right. So and again, we'll find out more information. Friday's the big injury report day. You mentioned before the pod that Poyer is out. Right. Like that's, you see how good he was last week. So now. So that means I think they win, and I think they win big, but it's not a bet for me because I respect that defense. But the offense is, to me, among the worst in the league. The overall team is among the worst in the league. Do the Bills have enough motivation to win by 4 touchdowns that they're obviously capable of?
Yeah, good stuff, John. So I'm looking at my power rankings. That's a compilation of a bunch of things that I've talked about before. So Pro Football Focus, PFF, ESPN, EFPI, and the DVOA as well, and other sources. So the Pittsburgh, statistically, their team offense from FPI, ESPN's FPI, 29. So you're right when you say they're one of the worst in the league. Ranked 29th overall out of 32 teams. Their defense, as we talked about, especially when they get TJ Watt back, is less abysmal. So they're ranked 14th currently, and that should move up. Quarterback QBR ranking, which is a statistical compilation and simulation based, but Mitch was at 24, and Pickett, I don't see him being an upgrade. I mean, he had a couple rushing touchdowns, but I don't know. Is he, like you said, is he really fundamentally a different player or a different tool back there than Mitch Trubisky? I don't think so, but we'll see. Maybe hopefully prove us wrong. O-line, okay at 13, so across the board. And then overall, they're 23rd in my power ranking. So yeah, 1-3 sitting. Is it possible that Mike Tomlin is saying, let's look around here for a second. We got in our division, forget about the AFC and the powerhouses in the AFC, right? Like the Kansas City and Buffalo. How about we got the Browns, the Bengals, and the Ravens, and us? We're at 1-3. Those are the Pittsburgh's at 1-3. Those are the three at 2-2. And those are all strong teams, like strong, strong teams in the AFC. They'll be fighting, my estimation, they'll be fighting for the AFC crown at the end of the year along with the Bills, those three teams. The Browns, Bengals, Ravens all look extremely strong. Is it possible that Mike Tomlin's thinking, might be time to shut down and retool? Mm. Why bother spinning our wheels with Mitch Trubisky? We know how that story ends. Let's get Kenny in there, get him some experience. We feel okay about our O-line, sort of middle of the pack ranking. Hopefully we can keep the guy alive and he can develop as a player in this retooling year, reloading. You know, if we win a couple games along the way and squeak into the playoffs, great. But is it such a bad idea to sort of turn the page now?
I love that. I love that take, Matt. Really, it's time for the Steelers to take a step back. You know, they're not going to go anywhere. Now, does Tomlin have that makeup? I don't think he's a great X's and O's guy, right? I don't think the offensive coordinator is great X's and O's, really, right? So I was just saying, is he a motivational guy that sort of says, come on, guys, you can win this. Get us to 2-3. We'll be just a half game off the lead or whatever, right? You know? No. I'm sure he is. But maybe it is, like, with the signal that they're going to pick it, what would be wrong with a top five pick for them next year? Get a decent left tackle or whatever it is that they, whatever that they is that they want, and then go forward, you know? So, and everybody cites the great statistic where he's never been under 500 in a season. Mm-hmm. Well, you mean there's a first time for everything. It's a change, yeah. Right, Matt?
Turn the page. So, Ben's been there the whole time, right? So he's not now, so.
Yeah. So like Belichick and Brady, same, isn't it a similar type of relationship? How great has Belichick been since Brady's been gone? Yeah. You know? So maybe it is time. Like, let's win a few games and cover a few big spreads and just compete and so on, and the players are playing for you. But no, let's maybe just finish with 6 wins or whatever and realize that no, you're in a tough division. You're not gonna beat the Bills, you're not gonna beat Kansas City, you're not gonna beat the teams in your own division, as you stated. So I really like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, to be myopic of it about it, is, are they going to cover this 2-touchdown spread? I don't know. I doubt it.
Okay, you're leaning, yeah. But you said it's a pass for you, but you're leaning cover, yep.
Bang.
So am I. Yep. Okay, let's keep going. These ones, we've got to get through these. So Dallas at the Rams. Interesting, right? So who would have thought, well, I sort of felt pretty good about Dallas. I don't know about 3-1 at this point, though, but tough schedule going into the ticked off Rams team. You know, they're not thrilled with the way things are going. Obviously, Andrew Whitworth was the other big piece they lost that I was trying to remember last time we spoke about this, John. Not just Von Miller to the Bills, who's arguably one of the best defensive tools, weapons in the league, and certainly on the D-line, so at OLB or D, whatever you have them. But you can't lose those two pieces and not be impacted by it. And Stafford was already super erratic, let's face it, and the running game was never great last year or this year. So you can see them reeling from that more than a little bit, sitting at 2-2. But the Dallas O-line has really been the problem for them for the most part, and Dak, of course. But Cooper Rush has looked all right, hasn't he? So the big loss in the O-line, Tyron Smith, their highest ranked player in the PFF top 50, has been out throughout the season at this point. But as a group, Dallas Cowboys have still only surrendered 2 sacks this year in 4 games. Pretty impressive stuff. Zach Martin, Notre Dame, one of the best players, top 10 player in the NFL. So he's really a big part of that offense. And you can see there's not as much of it, anywhere near as much of a drop off from Dak to Cooper Rush as people thought. And why is that? Because of what surrounds the offense, surrounds them, right? The offensive line and the receivers and running backs and so on. The Rams offense ranked number 28 overall currently, John. Things aren't going well. How about 29th in scoring for the Super Bowl champs? And they're up against this highly ranked Dallas defense. I believe, I'm going to say it every week, John, I believe in the Dallas defense. Micah Parsons hasn't had a sack in the past 2 games, but should have chances to fix that. Against the depleted Rams offensive line, they allowed 7 last Monday night, allowed 7 sacks. Micah Parsons has at least 2 sacks in 5 of his 20 games in the NFL. Let me repeat that. Has at least 2 sacks in 5 of his 20 games in the NFL. He's going to get a couple this week, maybe more. I could see him going off this week. You know. Trayvon Diggs, who you're constantly trashing, John, versus Cooper Kupp, won the Triple Crown, as we all know, last year. In a matchup last year, so you have the matchup last season's leaders in interceptions, Trayvon Diggs with 11, and receptions, obviously, Cooper Kupp, yards receiving and touchdowns. Diggs currently has, last year had 11 picks, were the most in the NFL in a season in 40 years. He's on a roll this year again. He has first 2 interceptions this season in the past 2 games. Trayvon Diggs also currently leads the NFL with 9 pass breakups this season. Cooper Kupp, of course, league leader this year again with 42 receptions, and he has 3 of the Rams' 4 touchdown passes. They only got 4 touchdown passes this year, John, in 4 games, and 3 of them are by Cooper Kupp. How about this stat I was reading on ESPN? With a victory this week, John, Cooper Kupp would be the 5th ever undrafted quarterback to win his first 5 career starts, joining, guess who the other 4 are? Kyle Allen, Kurt Warner, you ever heard of him? MVP. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomczak, throwback Bears, succeeding Jim McMahon, and wait for it,
Tom Brady?
Dieter Brock.
Wow.
You like that?
Yeah.
Ex-Blue Bomber, ex-LA Ram.
Hamilton Ticat.
That's right. He had a rifle for an arm. Yeah. Isn't that cool? So yeah. Cooper Rush, only the 5th one ever to win his first 5 career starts, joining that elite company. So Dallas goes as Zeke goes in the past, over the past number of years. They're 30-10 when Zeke, running back Ezekiel Elliott, gets at least 20 carries. Can he carry the rock for 20 times, John? It doesn't look like it. That hasn't happened only twice since the start of last year. So in the past 20 games, he's only carried it only 2 times more than 20. So Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb has 11 catches of at least 15 yards, tied with Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, heard of those guys, John, for the most in the NFL. I'm feeling pretty good about the Cowboys in this one, as you can hear in my voice. But what do you say, John?
Well, Matt.
Wait, I forgot one thing.
Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
We got to get that great, who was that? Was that
Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson, wow. Matt, listen, I've got a sort of a sports betting concept to discuss specifically based off of this game. And that is for situations where you know, and maybe that's why you brought it up, you have been so right on the Cowboys, and I have been so wrong.
Oh,
and it's
really
important. I know. I'm teasing, but you know, I shouldn't say I've been so wrong. Okay, I because you'll find out in a minute which side I'm on in this game. Hmm. But I when you have so many takes against a team, okay, or on a team so many times, and it fails, one has to reevaluate what they're doing on this team.
That's a good word.
Right? It's not a hatred for the Cowboys, because that's definitely not it. I'm a little colder than that, right? So where have I gone wrong? It's not because of Cooper Rush. I think he's probably a competent quarterback, okay? Because I didn't like Dallas from the beginning, even with Dak, comparatively, as you know, your Trayvon Diggs point, you know? So that's not to say I'm playing against the Cowboys. All I'm saying is reevaluate. This is about the time, the 3rd, 4th, 5th week, that you are reevaluating your process on a team. Okay, and mine may be wrong on Dallas. So put that in your arsenal. Realize that you can't just say every week Dallas sucks. Dallas sucks. Dallas sucks.
Unless you're Stephen A. Smith, right, or John Cisco.
Right, yeah. Right, right. You know, so But, you know, being serious about it, right? That's what it is, Matt. You have to reevaluate their. Are they really that good? Now, so what? They beat who they beat? Washington. And again, I was wrong. I get it. I liked Washington quite a bit last week. It hurt financially. Okay. So, but who have they really sort of the Giants? Big whoop. Okay. And I, you know, I trashed the Giants before too. And they, of course, won last week. So they're, I mean, these teams, like, look at their body of work overall as they go into the next game. So that's my only sort of overall point. Now, what happens this week? I still have the Rams as a top seventh. I was going to say a top seven team, but I actually have them seventh. Really pretty high, actually. Right in the neighborhood of you know, the Baltimores and the San Frans of this world. Okay? Which is pretty high, right? I think to a lot of people.
Sorry, you have them seventh and you're
seventh.
Yeah, I have eight.
Yeah. Okay, Dallas, so that's good. Yeah. So we're not that far off. I think the kicker is I've got Dallas in my bottom 10 still. I really don't think they're that good. Right, and I don't even have a play on this game, but I think they're going to get punched in the mouth.
Sorry, now, John, I got to stop.
Yeah, go.
I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about Dallas is seven. You have the Rams at seventh, which is fine. I have them at 11.
Okay,
you're saying you have Dallas where?
Bottom 10. I'll actually count them back, Matt. 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 25. I have them 24th still. That's how little I care about the Cowboys. Little regard I have for the Cowboys.
Oh man.
So anyway, whatever. And this is important. We can be different, right? That's the important thing. We being not Matt and I, we're different on a lot of things. But the public and me, or the public and you, and a better like evaluate. Have I been wrong on the Cowboys? Probably, but. And that's why I'm not going to bet the game. But I bet the Rams play well. They're back at home after two road games. Dallas finally plays a good team. So I think, okay, well, let's see. And the best part about it, Matt, you're on the opposite side. So we have a difference of opinion, and that means you can go ahead and make your bet against getting plus 5.5 with the Cowboys in Los Angeles. And good luck to you. And great, you know. So. Again, those are opinions, and I have a similar type of opinion on later on one of your later games, Matt. That will be something similar.
All right. Sorry, I'm sort of half looking at notes while you're talking and prepping for the next thing I'm going to say. So if I'm not as listening, that's why.
But I was going to say, I said it all. Anyways, I say the Cowboys will get killed again. No, I'm just kidding.
So one thing that's interesting. So we've talked about how the like the FPIs for mm-hmm. and the BPI for basketball FPI are more. Take a broader perspective or widen the lens, the aperture, whatever corny phrase you want to use. And it's more folding in sort of forward-looking considerations and strength of team and strength of schedule. And it's more as analytical and broad perspective as you can be versus your performance to this point in the season, right? So, for example, to narrow it, so ESPN has a statistic for defensive efficiency this year. And so on that scale, the Cowboys currently rank 10th. So if you just look at how they performed in their first four games this year, and alternatively, the ESPN FPI, which is that really broad look at things and real projection of how they think things are going to turn out ultimately for purposes of betting or otherwise, the Cowboys currently rank second on defense for team defense. And guess who's first on team defense in terms of power rating for the NFL Football Power Index 2022? How about, you would never guess this one, the New Orleans Saints, can you believe that, are number one. Eagles 3, Bucks 4, Pats 5. So kind of interesting. If you have time, go check that out on ESPN FPI. But yeah, feeling pretty good about the Cowboys, John, and that defense. And I think they're going to give the Rams fits, and probably not alone on that one. But let's keep going. How about the big game in London this week? There was a good one last week mm-hmm. between Minnesota and the aforementioned Saints. But another good one should be, are people underestimating these Giants, John? They're 3-1 against the Packers in London. -8 is the spread I saw in favor of the Packers. Packers continuing to get healthier. That injury list, the IL, is starting to get a little shorter, thankfully for them. No one really believes in these Giants yet. So how about Saquon Barkley? What a great story, right? He was such a force when he first came in the NFL, and then he was horribly injured, and he sort of was back, but not really, last year, and now he is all the way back by all appearances. Leads the NFL in rushing currently, 463 yards rushing already, almost 500 yards after 4 weeks. Where's that headed? Eric Dickerson, OJ Simpson territory. But coming off 146-yard performance against the Bears, averaging 5.5 yards per carry, even with that high usage rate, way up from his average of 3.7 yards per rush last season. He's just 130 yards away from matching his 2021 season rushing total. So I'd say things are ticking up for him. Packers, defense against the run, not great so far this year. So they allowed New England to rush for 167 yards and average over 5 yards a carry. And then against the Bears, David Montgomery rushed for 122 yards on just 15 carries against Green Bay earlier this year. Saquon Barkley, by all appearances, much more dangerous back than David Montgomery or anyone on the Patriots roster. So you'd think Barkley may be doing some damage this week. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones sprained his left ankle against the Bears, practicing on a limited basis, listed as questionable, so that could be a major factor. He gets it done. He's very mobile, as we talk about, so he's a legitimate dual threat out there. For the Pack, A-Rod still lamenting the receiver package, calling out his rookies and Christian Watson and who's the other one?
Dobbs.
Alan Lazard listed as questionable again, crushing me in fantasy. He had a good week last week, but... Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it. How about the rumors?
We draw one another this week.
There you go. How about
what a shame that Lazard is out.
Yeah. How about rumors of Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Green Bay Packers? Can you see it? I could see it happening personally. If you want to win, don't go to the Rams this year. Go to the Packers. Any chance of Giants keeping this thing close? 8's a big number, I think, for the Giants. There'd be something to prove over there, I think, against the Packers. Maybe one too many crumpets for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
getting a little crazy over there in Jolly Old.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Matt. I was really high on the Packers this year, and they obviously have a good record so far this year. But they have been just mediocre to me. I have found. I get they've had probably the worst injuries in the league, but maybe perhaps behind the Bills, frankly. But they're still a top sort of. Top half of the league team, quite obviously, but I don't think they've been very, very dynamic, very sort of, just a Super Bowl winning team, a division winning team. So the Beckham point is a really good one. He'll bring some dynamism to it, and I think so. What's the question, right? What will happen this weekend? Now, the Jets, I am not high on the Jets.
Giants.
I'm not high on the Giants. I mean, I'm sure my season wins bet is dead. But in the end, I don't think they have been that impressive either. So now, 8 points on a neutral field seems like a big number. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's surprising to me.
Yep.
You know, that the Giants have been acceptably bad in the public perception, and the Packers have been only mediocrely bad, mediocre rather. So, and it's 8 points on a neutral field. It's surprising to me. So my lean is to the Giants with Barkley being the exciting back that he has returned to be, as your points. And that's sort of basing it on a very sort of, to me, a mediocre Packers team, and not a team that looks like they're about to win their conference and go on to the Super Bowl. So give me the Giants +8, and especially on a neutral field.
I like it. Yeah, it should be. I like this one. It should be an entertaining game. So on my rankings, got Green Bay at 5 overall, and the Giants way down at 25, despite being 3-1. I don't know how I landed there, but that's where I landed.
That's about right, Matt. I'm on 25. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I got the Packers. The Packers defense is still. So their offense is ranked number 4. Their defense 13th overall. Giants 15th overall. So you could see this being a bit of a defensive battle, sort of a ground focused game, and maybe a low scoring game. So we'll see how it plays out. We got your take, John, and it should be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Last one for us to talk about, subject to what you want to go through, but the last one I have notes on here. So Detroit at New England. Pack favored by 3.5 in this one. I'm surprised. I think both teams are 1-3, are they not? Just double checking. Is that right? Yeah, the Pats record. But guess who's back? Amon-Ra St. Brown is hopefully 100% because he's got the ankle. But that high-flying Lions offense, can you believe it? The Motor City Kitties putting up points at a crazy rate of production and efficiency. TJ Hockenson's going off for Pete's sake. What's going on in the world? The offense is number one in overall in the NFL in scoring at this point. The Detroit Lions are number one in offense. Let me repeat that. In the NFL. Resurgence for Jared Goff. He's back from the dead. Number eight currently in QBR, John, quarterback rating, through 4 weeks. Number eight in the NFL. And the O-line slipping a little bit, but they are the strength of that team. Still in the top 10. I was listening to some of these notes, John. It's historic what they're doing. So Detroit is the first team in NFL history to score and give up a combined 281 points through the first four games of a season. The Lions are the 30th team in the Super Bowl era to score at least 140 points in their first four games. Can you believe that? Lions quarterback Jared Goff has thrown 11 touchdowns, tied for number one in the NFL with Patty Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Jared Goff leading the league in touchdown passes. Who would have thought that? So we lost, or they lost DeAndre Swift. I think he's questionable on the IL for on the injury report rather for this week. But Jamal Williams picking up the slack. How about leads the NFL with six rushing touchdowns? Jamal Williams, he was a backup to start the year, carrying the heavy load with Swifty out with injuries. He ran 19 times for 108 yards and scored twice last week. But everybody on Detroit scored last week, I think. Williams, first player in the league to run for more than one touchdown in three of his first four games since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2005. And the first Lion to have multiple scores on the ground in three games of a season since the great Barry Sanders in 1997. So lots of historic prolific scoring. Mentioned TJ Hockenson, eight catches, career high, 180 yards, 179 yards, receiving two touchdowns. More of a go-to with St. Brown out, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Chark was out. TJ Hockenson set a franchise record for yards receiving by a tight end, breaking Jim Gibbons from 1964's record, John. So it's crazy the number, the records are being broken every 2 seconds up there. Swifty, as I mentioned, still listening, is questionable. Chark also. But how can this team with this offense still be 1-3? The answer, its defense is horrific, ranked dead last in the NFL currently. I don't know what Aiden Hutchinson's doing. Number two with that giant signing bonus. Number two overall pick. Got three sacks in one half against the lowly Commanders and their terrible offensive line. Three sacks in one half. That's it for the year. Zero for the rest of the time. He and the guys on the Detroit line defense need to get things turned around. Been bit by the injury bug a little bit as well. Patriots, Brian Hoyer, backup quarterback, gets his shot, immediately injured. Currently on the IL. So it's either, for this week against the Lions in Foxborough, it's either third stringer Bailey Zapp. What a name.
Zappy, yeah.
I like to say Zappy. Or Mac Jones playing on one ankle. So maybe even this horrific, awful Lions defense can slow down this Patriots team in Foxborough. So we mentioned the spread, John. I don't know what you think. The Patriots are favored by 3.5 last I saw. I think the Lions, I'm leaning Lions on this one, John. What do you think?
I like the Lions outright, Matt. Yep. I think they're I mean, is there anything more dumb in sports betting than the term due? But I actually think they're due for a good defensive game. You know, I mean, they just, they've been so prolific offensively. Their defense is out on the field a lot. Teams do score on them. I think this game's going to be a little more patient, a little more sort of
ball control.
Something
that's
like
what they
that.
Need, right?
Something like that, Matt. Yeah. So I just think. I think I don't know why. What has New England done? They beat a subpar Pittsburgh team. They got fine. They played the Packers well last week. I've already shared my thoughts on the Packers so far this year, and they had a quarterback that nobody has ever seen for. The Packers didn't prepare for him, so he was just going out there winging it. If you watched that game, you saw Matt Patricia and Joe Judge sit beside him every single game, every single series on the bench, and Zappy's nodding his head yes before listening, consuming all of this information that Judge and Patricia had. So now there's something on tape for the Lions to quote prepare for. I don't know how the Lions have prepared defensively ever this year, but anyways, that's editorial comment. So I just think there's a chance that they've learned a lot. The Patriots obviously have learned a lot. The Lions have learned a lot too, and there's definitely a I mean, Washington aside, the who have the Lions played? They've played the Vikings and they played the Eagles. And last week they maybe a subpar Seattle team, but that team was ready clearly. So the Patriots haven't beat anybody, haven't played anybody really that good. So give me the Lions. I'm obviously going to take the 3.5. That's going to be my bet. But I for to be a hot take, like, I think the Lions can win this game outright and cash us a nice ticket.
All right, good. Yeah, sounds like we're on the same page. And yeah, it's crazy. The four games, so they lost by 3 to the Eagles. I know you're going to say garbage time. It wasn't as close as it appears on the final score, but the truth of it is they were in these games and they could have won them. Yeah. So Eagles are arguably the best team in the NFL along with the Bills. You could argue they're the best. They lost 38-35 in week one, the Lions did, to the Eagles. Remember, the Eagles won by 3. Commanders they beat. Vikings, they had that game. They were winning 14-0, and they let it slip away at the very end. So that's arguably a chance to be 3-0. And then you mentioned the Seahawks game. They lost 48-45. So they've been in four. We've got one win and three close losses. So they could be in much better position than 1-3. But should be a fun one. What else on NFL generally, John? I have some more comments on the Lions, but what else do you want to hit on the NFL before we close it out?
Let's do more Lions, because I just think, on the Lions side, I would prefer Zappe playing over Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is healthy enough to play, that means he's good enough to play. If you catch my drift, like they're not going to throw him out there with just one leg. To your point, Matt, right? Yeah, I think if he's going to play, he's going to be effective. And that, to me, is important. Mac Jones is, to me, a competent quarterback. To me, he's worth at least sort of 5 points to the line, 3 points to the line, that type of number. So I think that's important for the Lions, that they face Zappe instead of Mac Jones. Give me the Lions. It's the upset play of the week, if you want to be cliche about it.
All right. A couple things just on power rankings, John, and then we can flip it back to you. But just let me go through the top five. So I have Buffalo number one. I know I'm not unique or alone in these ones, but I still have the Bills at number one. I'm factoring in sort of long-range planning with them getting healthier as they go along. Trey White should be back in a couple weeks, worst case, I would think. Philadelphia, I had to do it. Had to move them up. I was, as you know, I had Tampa Bay and Green Bay and Kansas City in the top five, but I had to slide the Eagles in there to number two. It's only fair at this point, and they do look pretty dominant in all facets of the game. From before the season started, we were talking about them being the number one offensive line, as you will attest, or anybody can go back and listen to the show, right? And so I pounded the table saying, like, that matters. And, so a lot of the other pieces have fallen into place. Obviously, that A.J. Brown deal was huge for them, and their defense was rated highly. So seems to be firing on all cylinders, as they say. So I've got them at number two. Kansas City crushed their defense in the past, but to this point in the season, they're not doing that badly. So looking more at how they've done over the course of these four games, their defensive efficiency is ninth in the league, so not horrible. Of course, their offense is ranked number one overall. QBR, number one, Patty Mahomes. Josh is three. Patty Mahomes, he does look kind of unstoppable out there, doesn't he? Still, like, with all this stupid sidearm backwards throws out the back, looking out the back of his head and everything else. And that O-line, ranked number two in the NFL Amazing. By PFF. So those are good numbers right across the board. So Kansas City comes in third. And then the plucky, despite the Giselle Bundchen stuff, I'll get your comments on the Bucs, John. But, like, so they're team offense overall, three, team defense. This is the thing, right? People forget, like, oh, Brady's losing it. And, Mike Evans suspended or back, whatever. But it's like, how about their defense is the second best one in the league? Like, that carries, right? That matters to this day. So QBR to this point over four games, Tom is fourth. Not horrible at 45 years old or whatever, but yeah, he's fourth. Mm-hmm. Ranks 12th.
O-line Bucks fourth.
O-line sixth. Bucks fourth. So what do you think of the Bucs or the any of those, John, the Chiefs, the Eagles, or the Bills?
Yeah, you know how I feel about the Eagles. We're on the same page there. I've got, lots of overs on anything Eagles this year. The Bucs, I think are still underrated. I don't have them at two, as similar to your process, Matt. I think they're still good, and I still think they're probably with the Eagles and the 49ers, the most likely candidates for the NFC title. I really killed the Packers in the last week and knocked them down a peg. So I'm not too far off of that. I got Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Bucks, 49ers actually as my top five. I think that was a really good win against the Rams the other day. They made them look terrible. Now they often do. So,
I have Niners six. So Niners six, their defense is dominant, isn't it? It's fun to watch, and they just don't give up points. But Jimmy G though, he's not good. He's ranked 27th in QBR, John. So I'm not sure. Their O-line 15 and their team offense 19, but that defense hold them in there. Cincinnati 7, Cowboys 8, Baltimore 9. Chargers are plucky, going to get healthier. Mm-hmm. I got them there at 10, Rams 11.
Where do you
11.
Have the Jags, Matt?
I have them at 14.
Yeah, I have them up there too. That's kind of interesting, actually. They seem to be improving, don't they? They look like they're a legitimate team.
Defense efficiency 6 in the NFL. So. Yeah. Peterson, I like. Lawrence seems to have turned the corner. And just overall, they're doing pretty well. QB rating for Trevor Lawrence, 11th overall in the NFL. What else on power ratings, John? Anything?
Give me your Cardinals. Give me your Arizona Cardinals? It'll segue into something if you give me your Cardinals.
17 ranking. Overall, 11 on offense, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I move them around a little bit. They're sort of in a pack with a few other teams like Miami, Minnesota, and Denver, but I have them at 17. So team defense, they're down to 19. QBR, Kyler Murray, 17th overall. Their O-line, though, 9. Right, so that's huge. You know how much I like that. So they got the 9th ranked offensive line, the Cardinals. So sort of that middle, sort of below the top tier, middle second tier team.
Doesn't that smell like an upset team this week? I mean, the Eagles are very much one of the best teams in the league, but they're due to lay an egg, and I think it comes this week.
I think they got the Cowboys next week, so they might be looking forward to that, right?
Maybe. Yeah. You know, this is not Randall Cunningham against Neil Lomax anymore, right? Philadelphia Eagles, Arizona Cardinals days, right? So, no, I really like this Cardinals team this weekend, and that's why I want to make sure I'm not crazy with my rating of them this week. I think this looks like a tough spot for the Eagles. And if you've got them with your various metrics in the mid pack for a lot of it in a lot of areas, the Eagles are not going to go 17-0. Everybody. And now the great point about the look ahead spot with the Cowboys on deck, they don't have to win this game necessarily, right? I think this is a great spot for the Cardinals. Let me just double check the line, Matt.
I see minus 5.
5. Okay, so that's plenty for me. That's good enough. They're a candidate to win the game outright. So to wrap up my side of it, I would say that give me the Arizona Cardinals plus 5 against the Eagles this week.
All right, great stuff. Yeah, I see some interesting names on the injury report there. But yeah, I still that line is interesting, isn't it? Considering the respective records of the teams.
Right.
So 2-2 for the Cardinals, and the only 5, not a lot, right? So this is Arizona,
right? In Phoenix, yeah. Absolutely. So. Hmm. That's why I ask you about the Cardinals specifically, and I ask others saying, like, are the Cardinals this bad? And maybe they are, but this just seems like if they got a focused effort with a team that might be looking ahead to the Cowboys, I think this is the spot, and the point spread sort of reflects that. They're sort of thinking, this game might be only like 8 or 9 in Philadelphia, that type of thing. I think that's a good play. I like Arizona quite a bit.
When does Hopkins get off suspension?
6 games. I think it's 6 games. He got a 6 game suspension.
Okay, so he's got
a few more games to go. Yeah, what is it, 2 more weeks, I guess. But there's no signs of them being something special in the second half yet, based on their play so far. But I think this week they might be may have a focused 100% effort against the Eagles.
Neil Lomax, good stuff. Okay, your favorite quarterback of all time, John, is?
Jim Kelly.
Ah, nice. Who's better, Jim Kelly or Josh Allen?
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. Josh Allen can definitely be better than Jim Kelly in eventually. I think that's real.
Peak Jim Kelly versus peak Josh Allen, who's better?
Is peak Josh Allen? If it's peak Josh Allen, I think Jim Kelly's better. But if this guy got more to go, Josh Allen, then it'll be Josh Allen. That's not a wishy-washy answer to me either. We don't know how good Josh Allen can be. We know how good he is, but can he be even better? Does he take teams to multiple Super Bowls? That kind of thing. Kelly did, right? I think we've got to wait on Josh Allen just this minute.
Can you imagine if they get a powerful offensive line? Their O-line ranked 24th, ooh, the Bills. Mitch Morris back in there and healthy, but still. Imagine if they had the number one offensive line in front of him.
Did you see the Miami game, Matt? That was awful. I know we talked about it, but there were guys falling by the wayside. Oh, they needed that. How they beat Baltimore last week, I still don't know. I think they kill Pittsburgh. No bet, but I think they kill Pittsburgh this week.